Well, we want to bid you all a very warm welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's nice to see each and every one, and we bid you all a very special welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're watching in online, we welcome you as well. We're glad you're able to join with us, and we trust and pray the Lord will bless us as we meet in his name and around his word this morning. We're going to stand and we're going to open our service this morning by singing of the Psalm number one. And we're stand and sing when we get the music, please. Thank you. Amen. And we're going to come now and ask for the blessing of the Lord upon our service this morning. So I invite you to please pray with me and let us seek the face of the Lord together this morning. Our gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, we think with the words of the psalmist this morning where he said to be still and to know that thou art God. And we thank thee that, Lord, thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege that we have to come afresh into thy thrice holy presence, the thrice holy presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And O our heavenly Father, we bow humbly and come reverently in the precious and peerless name and the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for him this morning who loved us and give himself for us on Calvary's center cross. We thank you, O God, that we have an advocate with thee this morning, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, for thy many mercies and blessings to us this morning already, both physical and temporal. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege not only to bow in thy presence, but, Lord, to come to the house of God this morning, a meeting house that is open for the preaching of thy word. And, O our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the civil and religious liberties which we have here today to meet in such a fashion. We thank you, Lord, for the technology as well, which enables those who cannot be here physically, but, Lord, they can join in online. And we do pray that, Lord, whether in the meeting house or online, we do pray that, Lord, thy presence would be mightily known. We pray, O God, for the outpouring of thy blessed Holy Spirit. For, Lord, we're here to meet in thy name. We're here to worship thee. And we do pray and desire that, Lord, we would worship thee in spirit and in truth. We do pray, dear God, that as the Apostle Paul said, that in all things that Christ would have the preeminence. We do pray that he would be uplifted today. We do pray that he would be magnified. We do pray that he would be glorified in our service of worship here this morning. For he said in his word that if he is lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men unto himself. Thank you, Lord, for not only thy many physical and temporal blessings to us, but Lord, thank you for the greatest blessing of all, to the gift of eternal life through the Savior. We thank you for salvation for the whosoever will. And Lord, we thank you that for many, both here in the meeting and those watching in, they can say that it is well with their soul. But Lord, perhaps there are those and they're not saved. And Lord, it's not well with their soul. Oh God, I pray that Lord, thou wilt speak to them now. Speak to them through thy word and bring them savingly to thyself. I humbly pray. Lord, we thank you for the work here in Sandown. And Lord, we do pray for every aspect of it. We do pray for thy servant, the Reverend Wilson. We do pray that thou wouldst bless him as he would even labor in thy word over in Donaghadee this morning. Bless him in his many responsibilities and duties, not only as a pastor and minister, but Lord, as a husband, as a father, and as Lord, a Christian, and as looking after the work in Donaghadee. And we just pray that thou wouldst bless him and encourage him and strengthen him, Lord, for his many labors and tasks in the ministry of the Word of God. We do pray for the session and committee here in Sandown. We thank you for saved men. We do pray, dear God, that thou wouldst bless them and lead them and guide them. Lord, for every decision which would need to be taken in future days, Lord, lead them and guide them. Give them unity, I pray. And Lord, I pray for the congregation here. We bless thee for every communicant member and every friend of the congregation. And we do pray, Lord, as their needs differ, we thank you, Lord, that thou wert able to meet them at the point of their need. Well, Lord, we pray for those who are laid aside, and Lord, there are many in this congregation laid aside at this time. And Lord, we just want to pray for every one of them. Lord, different needs and different circumstances. But Lord, we thank thee that, Lord, we can commit them to thee, the one who is their great physician, the one who can just speak the word. And Lord, that thy servants can be made whole. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst encourage them today and strengthen them. Lift up, Lord, those who are downcast. Encourage them and strengthen them and bless them, we pray. And Lord, bless those perhaps associated with the work here that mourn. Lord, we acknowledge that, Lord, death is a very solemn reality. And Lord, we do not know the day of our death. But Lord, we thank you that, Lord, for the child of God, it is simply a passing from this world into eternity with Christ, which is far better. But Lord, for those who are not saved, Lord, what an awful fate it is for them to pass from this scene of time where opportunity to be saved will be gone forever. And Lord, to be in that awful place called hell for all eternity. Oh God, speak to all of our hearts with this solemn reality. Lord, I pray that everyone will be ready to meet God. And Lord, that everyone will meet them as their Savior. So Lord, bless us now as we continue on in thy presence. Pour out thy Spirit. Remember our land today. Remember the preaching of thy word right up and down the length and breadth of the United Kingdom and the island of Ireland. Bless every man who will be faithful to the blood and to the book, Lord. Give him souls for his hire, we pray. And Lord, we just pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and glory alone. Amen. Amen. Could you turn with me, please, in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms? And we will be turning to that psalm which we have just sang, the psalm number 1. Again, we just want a bit of welcome to everyone who's joined with us, and we pray the Lord will bless you and the Lord will bless us as we meet. And even as we come and read his word, that the Lord would speak to us through the reading of his word. Psalm number 1, and we will read the psalm in its entirety. The psalmist says in Psalm number 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen. We will end our reading there, the verse number 6. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless this public reading of his word to our hearts for his own name's sake and glory. Amen. At this point, I would like to invite Mr. Graham to come and to bring the necessary announcements, please. Thank you.
On behalf of the Reverend Wilson, I'd like a bit of a very warm welcome to everyone today to our service, and also to any visitors with us, you're very welcome, and also to those who are joining online, we would like to welcome you this morning. It's a very warm welcome this morning to our preacher, Mr. Stephen Crawford. He's from our Muckrafelt congregation, and Stephen is a final year student in Whitfield College of the Bible, and we can remember Stephen and all the other students at this time, as they'll be involved in exams. The announcements for today and the incoming week are as follows: Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30, and back here this evening, the Gospel Service at 6:30. The speaker will be our own minister, the Reverend Wilson, and the singer will be a young brother, Mr. Jonathan Mitchell. Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., outreach program. 7 p.m. is the Explorers Bible Club. And 8 o'clock, there is a committee meeting for our session and committee members. Thursday evening, Bible study and prayer meeting, and the speaker will be the Reverend Wilson. Friday, 8 o'clock, will be monthly presbytery meeting. Next Lord's Day, start of the day, 10:15, is Sunday school and Bible classes. 10:30 a.m., morning worship, speaker, the Reverend Wilson. 2:30, again, the Sunday school in Hollywood. And at 6:30, it'll be the first of our special Christmas services. And the singers will be the Lockhart family and Pastor Philip Noe Bowles. And the speaker will be Mr. Bowles also. And please do continue to remember those who are unwell, and also the shut-ins and the elderly. And there's been quite a few been ill this last while, and still some not back. Good to see some back this morning. After a time of illness, and there are still those who have yet to come back. And also, please remember to place your offerings in the tithes in the boxes available as you leave. And just again, we want to welcome Mr. Crawford to our pulpit this morning.
Well, can I take this opportunity again to thank our brother for the very kind words of welcome, to welcome you all here today, and thank your minister for the opportunity to come and to minister in the word of God this morning. And I would value your prayers as the students commence their examinations this week, and we're looking forward to the 16th when they will be completed. So I would very greatly appreciate your prayers, and just want to take this opportunity as well, because we know we have been here in the past in deputation. And I was just saying to a couple of the brethren earlier that the last time I was here was on deputation in second year. And just the weekend after we were here was lockdown. And so a lot has happened in these last year and a half. But yet the Lord's been good to us, and the Lord has preserved us. And despite all the difficulties and distresses of the past, while the Lord has been good to us. And it's hard to believe that I'm into my final year now, and Time is just passing by so quickly, and we want to thank you for your support, for you have been very good in supporting us prayerfully and practically, and we want to put that on record and appreciate all of your support prayerfully and practically for the work of the college. We're going to stand and sing again before we come to the Word of God. It is hymn 462, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to know that He is Lord." Amen. Let us again bow in prayer before we come to consider God's word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for this opportunity to bow before Thee. Thank You, Lord, for the words that even that we have just been singing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And Lord, we've been thinking how we have been experiencing so many difficulties and distresses as a nation this past year and a half, nearly 2 years. But yet, O God, what has been our stay in those times of darkness, those times of distress, is the Saviour Himself, where the Saviour Himself drew near and, Lord, encouraged our hearts and built us up and strengthened us for the way ahead. And, Lord, we thank You that it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. And, oh, we pray that we would trust Him more. Oh, we pray that we would be drawn closer to Him. And, Lord, I pray that will be the case as we even come now to Thy word, as we consider it. And Lord, I humbly ask and pray for help from heaven, Lord, to give me power and to give me clarity and give me authority to minister thy word this morning. Lord, I am not able for this task. I have no ability or sufficiency of myself. But Lord, I thank thee that my sufficiency is of God. O Lord, bless every head bowed in thy presence. Lord, bless thy word to every heart. Lord, may it be a word in season. Lord, use it for thy glory and for thine honor alone. Take away, I pray, every distracting thought and close us in now with thyself. For it's in Jesus' precious name I humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. If you could turn with me to Psalm number 1 again. I want to consider a few thoughts this morning from the Word of God. And as we turn to Psalm number 1, I was thinking of that little children's course that I learned in Sunday school many years ago. It was written by Ira Stample, and I'm sure many of you know it here this morning yourself. The title of it is Happiness is the Lord. And the first chorus, if I can remember it off by heart, is Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. And as I was thinking of that little chorus and how it even encourages and thrills my own heart every time I think of the words and think of the truth which that man, Ira Stample, conveyed in that hymn when he wrote it all those years ago. And as we come to Psalm number 1 this morning, we see the happiness of the godly or the happiness of the righteous. And under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the psalmist here, he says, blessed is the man. Now, those words in the original read like an exclamation. They could be read like, oh, the blessedness of so-and-so. And here we have the description of a man whom the psalmist says is blessed. Now, the word blessed here, it signifies to be happy. Literally, you could read it as, oh, the benefits of seeking and taking refuge. And the psalmist here, he is referring to a position to be desired. Someone who is safe and is secure. Now that individual is one who is blessed with many benefits. Now how is it that this man spoke this way? And this is what I want to consider with you for a few moments this morning. The happiness of the righteous. And the first thought I want to bring to your attention is the wisdom of the righteous. The wisdom of the righteous. Now the psalmist says in Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The psalmist here, he is describing a man that is happy or blessed. And so he proceeds to tell how it was that this man was blessed. He first of all says that this happy person is one who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So here we have the way not to go. This is the way the child of God ought not to go. He was not to be a companion of the ungodly. That word walketh there, it speaks of proceeding. So the happy man is not to proceed, he's not to go with and to heed the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, especially when it goes against the teaching of Scripture. Now that word ungodly is a very strong word. And it speaks of those who hate God and are against God. For they are mischievous and they are restless, as the Scripture tells us. And it's such a strong word convening what these people are. Those who hate the Lord. Those who are totally against and opposed to His word. And sadly, don't we see that very prevalent in our own province today? Men and women who are totally against God, totally want to have His word abominated and removed out of their lives and society. Now, when we're considering this, it's very easy perhaps to follow the line of thought that we're to be isolationists, that are we to be living like a monk or a nun in a convent or a monastery? Well, that's not the teaching of the Word of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in His great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 6, He prayed that we would be in the world, but that we would not be of the world. And He prayed that the Father would preserve them from the evil thereof. And so as Christians here this morning, we are to be in the world, but we are not to be of the world. So we've thought about the way not to go. We are not to follow or heed the advice of the ungodly, those who hate God and want to steer us away from the truths of God's word. But there is also the place not to remain. The place not to remain. You see, the happy or blessed person is one who does not remain in the presence of sinners. That word standeth there, it speaks of dwelling or continuing or abiding. So in other words, we are not to be abiding with those who seek to live a life which is contrary to the things of God. The word sinner there is one who misses the mark. And truly that's what each and every one of us have been born into this world as. Those who miss God's mark. Those who are breakers of God's law. Those who want to live a life which is far removed from God's will and God's purposes. And so the psalmist here, he warns his readers. He speaks here that the godly person is one who does not walk the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You see, the ungodly want to pursue their own path. They want to go down a way which will lead them further and further from truth and righteousness and further into sin and to evil and to wickedness. And that's the problem when people want to go their own way. It was the very same in the days of the judges, where it says here that man did what was right in his own eyes. And we see that very clearly in Northern Ireland today. We see that very clearly across the water in England and Scotland and Wales. Countries that have known the blessing of the gospel for many years. But yet the old devil has sought to take nations and people in authority away from the truths of God's word. That is why we see so much confusion in our land today. Because God's word is very clear and it's very plain. What marriage is, what gender somebody is born with. The Bible is very clear as to how we are to live. And yet we see those things are totally turning its head by society and by government, sadly, as well. But we've seen here the way not to go. We've seen the place not to remain. But there is the company not to keep. We've seen there is a word used by the psalmist towards the end of verse 1, the scornful. Now, who are the scornful? What are the scornful? And those are people who are proud. Those are people who mock God. Those are people who boast in and of themselves. And we know that pride is something which God hates very much. And yet the scorner is somebody who is full of pride. And yet God cannot have pride in his presence. Remember the devil, as he was Lucifer, that beautiful angel that guarded the throne of God, but yet there was sin found in his heart. Pride was in the heart of the devil. And so he fell, and so God cast him out of heaven because of his pride. And that is why we must, as even as children of God this morning, we must ask the Lord to search our hearts. And to cleanse away any pride, for it is very easy for any one of us as the children of God to have pride in our hearts. And let that be a warning to us that if there is any pride, that the Lord would take it away, that the Lord would cleanse it, that we would seek to have that pride removed from our own hearts and our own lives. Pride holds God in contempt. Pride exalts man and lowers God. And that is why we must deal with it very severely. The scornful, those who are proud, their speech and their conduct, their outlook on life is totally in the opposite direction of what the Christian and where the Christian is to be going. And that is why, dear child of God, we must not let this or those impact our lives, because they will impact our lives negatively. There will be no spiritual blessing. There will be no spiritual fruit from allowing those influences in our life. The preacher wrote in Proverbs 1 verse 10, he said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consentest thou not." In other words, the preacher Solomon is saying here, don't listen to them, do not copy them, do not follow the way they are going. For sadly, some who profess the name of Christ, They want to be like the world. They want to be cool. They want to be with the in crowd. They want to be popular. But yet, if we're going to be faithful to Christ today, if we're going to stand for Him, we're not going to be popular. We're not going to be with the in crowd. We're going to be those who are considered fuddy-duddies. We're going to be those who are considered as spiritual lepers. Why? Because we want to honor God. But yet, remember, dear child of God, do not be discouraged, because one with God is the majority. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. James told us in James 4 and verse 4, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Those are very strong words, which James tells us here. And there's no ambiguity, there's no confusion here. It's very clear in what James is saying, that if you want to be the friend of the world, you're going to be God's enemy. And that is why when we were born into this world, we were born as the enemies of God. We were born in sin and shame and in iniquity. As the psalmist said in Psalm 51 verse 5, we were God's enemy. We were the friend of the devil because we were children of wrath. We were the children of the devil. But praise God for that day and hour for many of us when we came as sinners to Christ. And we stepped off that road, that broad road leading us to destruction, stepping onto that narrow road leading us to heaven and to home. And that the Savior, He adopted us into His family. That we are united with Him through His redemptive act. And that we have been clothed in His righteousness. And if we are going to follow Him, we're not going to be the friend of the world. That is why the world loves to scorn the Christian. That is why the world loves to mock the Christian. That is why the world loves to point fun and poke fun at Christianity. Because the world wants nothing to do with the Christ of God. Just as it was in Jesus' day, as they persecuted Him, as they mocked Him, as they rejected Him, so they will do to us, dear child of God. But be not discouraged, because we're on the winning side. You know, the wisdom we've been thinking here in this first thought, the wisdom of the righteous, it is knowing what not to do and why not to do it. The way not to go, the place not to remain, and the company not to keep. But secondly, there is the word obeyed by the righteous. The word obeyed by the righteous. Notice there in verse 2 of Psalm number 1, the psalmist says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. So we were thinking in the first thought about the blessed person and what they ought not to do. And verse 2 gives us a very clear answer for what we are to do. The first thought we were thinking about was in the negative sense, what we weren't to do, where we weren't to go, who we were not to keep company with, to allow to influence us for wrong. But here the psalmist gives the positive. He says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. This is why the blessed or the happy person is happy, because their delight is in the Word of God. And in His law or His word doth he meditate day and night. We see here that the psalmist says the happy person, the blessed person, is one who delights in the law of God. He delights in the Scriptures. And that word delight there, it signifies pleasure. It signifies desire, acceptance. The blessed person is one who has found pleasure and desires the law of God. With that in mind, why would the Christian ever want to seek to spend time with those who do not have anything to do or want anything to do with the Word of God? They're only taken up with their own lives. They're only taken up with their own wisdom and their own so-called knowledge. But yet the Christian, dear child of God, let us delight ourselves in the law of God. Let us take that time around the Scriptures, because it is how we will truly be blessed. It is how we will truly be happy in and of ourselves, despite our circumstances. It doesn't mean that we're going to be in happy circumstances all the time, but it means that we can be happy because we're resting, we're trusting, we're depending, not upon man, but upon the God of the Word. The God of the Word who is able to succor you or to comfort you, who is able to strengthen you, who is able to encourage you, who is able to build you up in your most holy faith, because he's your Lord and he's your God. Now, the first time we come across this word delight is in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel 15, 22. If you want to turn with me there, please just turn back a few books to the book of 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, it is chapter 15. And in 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 22. And it says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken rather than the fat of rams." Now, I'm sure many of you know this situation, this narrative here very well. King Saul, the first earthly physical king of the people of Israel, was leading his people, or leading his army out, and they were waiting for Samuel the prophet to come back. But Samuel was delayed. And so what King Saul took upon himself was to offer up the sacrifice, which was not his job. You see, it was exclusively for Samuel the prophet. But yet Saul did what was wrong in the eyes of the Lord. And as soon as he had offered up that sacrifice, Samuel appeared on the scene. And Samuel confronted him with what he had done. And the lesson here from this verse is that to obey is better than to sacrifice. I know you could be someone this morning who is very good at supporting the work of God financially. You could be very good at paying money to charities, and that's very good and honorable. But the principal thing we ought to be desiring this morning as children of God is to obey the word of God. Whenever we disobey the word of God, whenever we seek to go our own way, we will only end up making shipwreck. We will only end up making disaster. But yet when we obey and heed the word of God, we will not do those things. We will be blessed. We will be instructed. And here we see that God delights in those who obey his word rather than trying to please him by sacrificing. That word law there that the psalmist uses in his psalm, that is the general term for the word of God in the psalmist's day. Now the word here in the original is Torah, which represents the first five books of the Old Testament, or the books of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy. The law and the testimony of the Lord, this is what he is referring to here. And even though the psalmist is referring to those first five books of the Bible, yet he could delight in those first five books. And yet, dear child of God, when we think how we have the complete canon of Scripture this morning, 66 books of the New and the Old Testament, and how much more we have today than the psalmist did in his day, and how much more we can read and be benefited by the promises, by the instruction and the teaching of the Word of God. And here we can truly say that we are blessed. We can say that we are not only a blessed people, but a happy people, because we have the Word of God. Think of the many countries and language groups today that still do not have a complete Bible. And yet, God has blessed us in the English-speaking tongue with the Word of God for hundreds of years. When we think of the 400 years of the Authorized Version and how the Lord has blessed it all these many years, and how many revivals and people have been awakened to their need of salvation through the reading of the Scriptures. And we think of all those who laid down their lives, men like Tyndale, for the Word of God in our own mother tongue. And yet how often we neglect it. How often we do not appreciate fully the blessings which God has given to us through his Word. You know, the psalmist said, "The happy person, the blessed person, is one who delights in the law of the Lord." But not only that, there is the thinking over the Scriptures. You see, the psalmist was describing this person. They are blessed because in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. In other words, the psalmist was referring to this person, speaking of this person who isn't just one who glances over the Word of God, skips through the reading of the Word of God, yet he is one who is thinks what he is reading. He meditates, and that's not some mystical thing which other religions do, but it is simply thinking over, chewing over in your mind, what is God saying to me here through his Word? How does that impact my life? What does that mean for my life? What does that mean for society? You see, the psalmist was one who not only read the law of God, but he thought about it. And this is the truly happy condition of that person, because they are meditating upon the Word of God. You know, dear child of God, whenever we whenever we memorize the Word of God throughout the day, it is a blessing to us. And I know it's good to remember the words of hymns and psalms as well, as we were thinking about at the start there, happiness is the Lord. It's good to sing them, even though you mightn't have a note in your head, you may think, but it's good to sing them. It's good to rejoice your heart. It's good to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for his salvation and for what he's done for you. But whenever we come and we meditate upon the Word of God, it is a truly blessed thing. Even if you were to memorize this psalm or the 23rd psalm, how many of us can recite it word perfect? Because it is such a blessing to us, because it's so applicable to us, because the Lord is our shepherd. And so that because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want, we shall not be in need. Because the Lord is in control of everything, the Lord is able to give us what we need and to withhold from us what we don't need. And that is why this is something which each and every one of us should be engaged in, memorizing the Word of God. And I know at times it's very easy, isn't it? It's very easy to sideline the Word of God. Perhaps you've had a very busy day and the evening is drawing to a close and you're getting ready for bed and you think, well, I have to do my readings. Well, you know, dear child of God, let us get out of that habit. Because whenever we do not give the Word of God its rightful place, then we will get into that sort of routine where we feel that we have to do it just to solve our conscience. But yet whenever we set aside that time, and even memorizing one verse of Scripture and reciting it over to us throughout the day, because it's very easy if you're in a workplace and the radio's on blasting, and I know that it can be very discouraging and all the songs of the world are pouring into you and you're like, oh, could somebody turn that rubbish off? Well, think upon the Word of God. Think upon even these first few words of verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or the first few words of verse 2 there, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that as children of God, we can delight in the law of God. We can delight in the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God points us to none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is the very purpose of the Word of God, to reveal unto us his Son. That's why God gave us his Word. That is why the Word of God ought to be our only rule of faith and practice, because it points us to the person and work of Christ. And whenever we consider the person and work of Christ, dear child of God, we won't be discouraged. We won't be downtrodden. We will be encouraged. We will be humbled. Why? Because we will be reminded how unworthy we are as Christians to be saved. We will be reminded of the mercy and the grace of God, which reached down to this fallen world of sinners, that God would send his only begotten Son into this world, that he would send him to seek and to save that which was lost, you and I, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And yet the psalmist was one who meditated. The psalmist was one who thought about the Word of God. And that word meditate there simply means to study, to ponder. You know, there's many other legitimate things which we can ponder, things which we can think about throughout the day. But yet when we consider, when we ponder, when we study the Word of God, we will be truly happy. We will be truly blessed. because God is speaking to us through His Word. And perhaps maybe you need a word. Perhaps you suddenly find yourself in a situation, not of your own making, a situation which brings distress, a situation which brings worry. And truly, each and every one of us at some point will face those situations. But yet, perhaps the Lord will take a word, a verse, which you have maybe committed to memory, and the Lord will bring that to your heart again to give you strength, to give you courage for that moment which you're going through. As Peter said to the persecuted believers in 1 Peter 3, in verse 15, he says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And that's another reason why we ought to study and to meditate upon the Word of God. Somebody asks us, perhaps a stranger in the workplace, "Why are you a Christian?" Or they've noticed something different about your life. "I've noticed something different about you. You don't swear. You don't join in with the filthy jokes of everybody else do. What's different about your life?" And there the opportunity opens up for you to say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I'm nothing more than a sinner saved by grace." And then perhaps they will ask, "Well, what does that mean?" They'll look at you as if you have two heads, and then there you have the opportunity. "Well, I'm simply a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ." And there the way is opened up for you to speak a word for Christ. And how we need those opportunities. And I pray that the Lord will give us more of those opportunities, that the Lord would take away the fear of man and give us a desire, give us a heart for those who know not the Lord, whether in the workplace, whether out in the street, or even in our own family circles, to meditate, to study, to ponder the Word of God, is to meditate, is to think upon the Word, or the person and work of Christ. And truly there is nothing better, there is no one better for us to think upon, or to meditate upon, believer. That is why whenever we remember the Lord's death till He come at the Lord's Supper, that is why we focus upon Him. Because we focus upon His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His intercession, and His returning. And He will return in like manner as He left. And that is why we focus upon Him, we think upon Him. Because take away the cross, take away the finished work of Christ, and we have no hope in this world. But yet there is hope. There is hope in this world. There is hope for you today. If you're not saved, why? Because Jesus Christ is alive. Because this scripture reveals unto us that there is a way to be saved. There is a person through whom you can be saved. And there is a way in which we ought to live as believers. And that is by trusting in Christ, repenting of sin, turning away from sin, looking on to Jesus to be saved, and looking on to Him to live as we ought to live as Christians. So we thought there secondly about the word to be obeyed. Lastly, I want us to consider the works that followed the righteous. The works that followed the righteous. And David said, or the psalmist says here in verse number 3, "And he, the blessed person, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We see here that the works that follow the righteous are that his needs are fulfilled. And because the child of God who is obedient to the Word of God, who is thinking and meditating upon the Word of God, their needs will be fulfilled. Their needs will be met. And you see, the psalmist here is painting the picture that the blessed man is someone who is like a tree that is planted in the right place to be supplied by the water. Now, you don't have to be a budding farmer here or somebody who's into horticulture this morning to get this analogy, because a plant or a tree or a crop, it needs water, it needs sunlight, and if it's placed in the right place beside the water, then it's going to be fed. It's going to get that nourishment that it needs to grow, to thrive, to prosper. And dear child of God, think of the Word of God here. We've been thinking about how to the blessed person, the happy person, is one who meditates on the Word of God. And whenever you or I as Christians, we are being fed, We're being instructed from the Word of God. We are getting our spiritual meat from the Word of God. We are getting spoken to. We are getting built up by the milk of the Word. And if we are like that, we will be like this tree, a tree that is planted by the waters, the rivers of water, and there it will bring forth its fruit. You see, if you're going to be a fruitful Christian, if I am going to be a fruitful Christian, we need to be taking time in the Word of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're ever going to be of use to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be fed by the Word, and we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as that tree is receiving its constant supply, because the sun rises and the sun will give the plant or the crop its energy which it needs, and then the water will come, and the water will strengthen it and supply it for all of its needs for it to be fruitful. And so there's a very basic principle for us this morning. If we want to be a fruitful Christian, by taking time, thinking, applying the Word of God, and asking the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit. So we see here that the psalmist, he speaks of the works that follow the righteous, that their needs will be fulfilled, but also that they will be fruitful. They will be fruitful. And so as Christians here, we are to be that living tree, that fruitful tree which bringeth forth His fruit in His season. And you know, each and every one of us this morning as Christians, we can be fruitful. We can be fruitful if we're taking time with the Word of God, if we're seeking the Lord in prayer and asking Him to fill us, not with self and sin, but to empty us of those things, to fill us with His Holy Spirit, that we would be enabled to live for Him. Think of it, dear child of God. As we were thinking a few moments ago, how that we as sinners were adopted into the family of God, how that we have been brought forth into His family. We have been grafted into the vine of Christ, John chapter 15. And as Jesus said there, if ye abide in me, He said He wanted you and I as believers to abide in Him, to remain in Him. Just as that branch is engrafted in, we have been engrafted into Christ. Why? So that we would be fruitful. You see, God, that is the will of God for your life this morning, dear child of God. That you and I, we would be fruitful Christians. We will not be fruitful Christians by standing in the way of sinners, by sitting in the seat of the scornful, by listening to the lies of the world, by letting ungodly influences impact our lives. We will not be fruitful. But if we are to be fruitful, and we will be fruitful, if we are like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water, if we are getting our spiritual food, if we are getting filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will be able to persevere. And this is what we see here. There is perseverance, because the leaf, the psalmist says here in verse 3, his leaf shall not wither. And that speaks of there will be times of difficulty. You think of the plants or the crops. They have to stand out in the rain, the hail, the sunshine as well. And they have to be able to withstand those heavy gusts of wind, those hailstones like perhaps some of us experienced yesterday in that rough weather which we experienced. But the child of God will bring forth fruit in His season, in the will of God. You will bring forth fruit in God's timing, dear child of God. Not every season is going to be a fruitful season spiritually. We're not always going to see multitudes being saved. But yet the Lord is pleased, and the Lord will be pleased to give us fruitfulness and give us souls in His timing. And that's why we must keep persevering. Despite the difficulties, despite the barren times, despite the times where there's difficulties and storms, keep persevering in the things of God. But there is also here not only perseverance, but there is prosperity. And now this is not some false prosperity gospel I'm going to teach you now, but it's simply, this is true biblical prosperity, true spiritual prosperity. It is by abiding in Christ. It is by meditating upon His Word. It is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. The psalmist uses that word shall there in that verse 3, three times. And there we see that there is certainty here of blessing. If we take the time, if we are being fed spiritually by the Word of God. Speaking of this word, John Gill, the Bible commentator, said, he said of the blessed person, he says, whatever he does in faith, from love to the glory of God, and in the name of Christ, prospers. I'll repeat it. He says, whatever he does in faith, from love to the glory of God, and in the name of Christ, prospers. And there, that's the secret to prosperity. Whatever we seek to do, we do it by faith. Out of a love for Christ, for a love for souls who know not the Savior. And what's the purpose there? It's for the glory of God and the name of Christ. You see, we can only come to God, the Father, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do that, there will be prosperity. And that's the key for us to prosper and to grow as Christians here this morning. Is to be those who meditate day and night in the Word of God. We've been thinking this morning about the happiness of the righteous. And we noted there the wisdom of the righteous there in verse number 1. It's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. We've noted there, secondly, the word to be obeyed. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I know that's a challenge to each and every one of us. Because how many of us can truly say that we meditate upon the Word of God day and night? If we're being honest now, how many of us can truly say that? Very few, I would say. And I'm not standing here this morning as someone who is perfect, as someone who has fulfilled this myself. But as the Lord has spoken to me and blessed this Word to my heart, I pray that it will be a blessing and a challenge to each and every one of you here this morning. And lastly, we noted there the works that follow the righteous. You see, whenever we seek to put the Lord first, whenever we seek to give the Word of God His place, then we will be blessed. We will be happy. As Ira Stamphill said in his song, he says, I found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking that trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. And if you're here today and you, perhaps you're saying, well, I'm not happy. I don't know the Savior as my Lord, but I want to know Him. Simply come to Him this morning. Well, you don't need to come to me. You don't need to come to anybody else, but simply bow your head. And ask Him. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And ask Him to save you, and He will. And then you will know that true joy, that true happiness and peace and satisfaction and assurance of His salvation because you've come to Christ. You know, as children of God this morning, we can think back to that moment in our life's experience when we simply as sinners came to Jesus. Whether that was in our own homes or in a gospel mission or even perhaps in this meeting house or wherever it may be, it doesn't matter. But as that moment where we came to Christ, we knew that joy. We knew that true happiness. Why? Because Christ had heard and answered our prayers. He had took us in. Though we were unworthy, though we were vile, there was nothing lovely about us, but yet Christ in His mercy and in His love, He brought us unto Himself. He cleansed us by His precious blood. He brought us into the family and fold of God. And yet we experienced that true happiness which this world cannot give. I close with this before we come to sing our final hymn. I seen a few weeks ago on the television that very famous radio presenter. And he was talking with different Christian people in his program. And he was searching, he was trying to understand why they were happy, why they had peace and joy in their lives. It was because they knew Christ. It was because they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And even though this man, being very famous and popular, not with me anyway, but very wealthy as well, He had all these world's goods, but yet he hadn't Christ, and that's why he wasn't happy. And that's the secret to true happiness today, that is knowing Christ as Savior. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake and glory. We're just going to close with the hymn 184. And we'll just sing the first and the last verse of this hymn, please. There is a book that comes to me. Standing, and we'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thy precious word, and we do pray that, Lord, thou wouldst write this word upon each and every one of our hearts, that, Lord, each and every one of us will leave this place today or log off, and we can say that blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to be those who meditate in the law of God both day and night. Part us now in thy fear and with thy favour. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day until Jesus calls or comes again. Amen.